Hello, this is Joshua Mack. It is a Monday morning, and you know what that means? We have another chance to talk about earthly mindedness. If I sound happy to talk about earthly mindedness again, I actually am. I am so grateful that Jeremiah Burroughs has written this book, A Treatise on Earthly Mindedness, and that we get to read through it. Maybe you wonder, why do you want to spend so much time talking about earthly mindedness? Why is this something that makes you happy? I'm happy because to overcome earthly mindedness, we have to be able to identify it, and we have to know why it's evil, and we have to think a little bit about how to put it off and what we need to put on in its place. And I definitely want to overcome earthly mindedness. I want us to overcome earthly mindedness as a church. There's so much good in God. There's so much life to be lived for God, and I feel like earthly mindedness is spiritual quicksand. And that many of us are stuck in it. And that many of us don't always realize that we're stuck in it. And so one of the first steps to getting out of the quicksand is knowing that you're in it. And Jeremiah Burroughs is doing a good job of that as he takes some time to identify proofs that a person is earthly minded. And in this chapter, he's going to give us 9 proofs. So get ready for it. And the first proof is that we trust in earthly things for our security and for our comfort. So, question, what are you trusting in today? That's a good day to ask it because stocks apparently are doing terrible and crashing or something like that. And how are you responding? how does that make you feel? Imagine you had an investment worth $100,000. You wake up, it's now worth $0. That's pretty impossible, I would think, but imagine that happened. How would you feel? You probably would be sad, but would you be scared? Burroughs says, when a man rests upon earthly props, upon worldly helps for the good that he expects, if he can have those things, his heart seems to be upon the wing. He is very pleasant. But there's nothing else that can revive his heart, nothing else that can keep his spirit. Now, that which a man or woman most trusts in, they have made to be their God. It properly belongs to God to put our trust in him. This is what God deserves, to be trusted. If we are trusting in something other than God, that's our God. We make God to be our God when we roll ourselves upon him, when we put ourselves and our security completely in his hands. But someone says, okay, you are saying I make earthly things to be my God when I trust in them. I don't trust in earthly things for salvation, for my relationship with God. I trust in Jesus for my relationship with God, and I trust in earthly things for my security right now. Burroughs says, no, to trust in earthly things for the comforts of this life while you're here in this world is an argument of an earthly spirit. For the truth is, the comfort of a man's life consists not in any earthly thing that he might enjoy. Now that right there is a radical statement. Let me say it again, slowly, so that you can hear it. The comfort of a man's life consists not in any earthly thing that he might enjoy. Do you believe that? How am I going to be comfortable? Most of us would think this is why we work so hard. One reason, hopefully we work so hard for the glory of God. But if we're going to be honest, a lot of us, why are we driven to work the way we work, to do what we do? It's we want to be comfortable. Well, what does working so hard have to do with comfort? Well, working hard makes us money. Money gives us the opportunity to get things. Things are what we think makes us comfortable. And Burroughs says, bingo, that is treating things like they're your God. Because, and it's foolish, because comfort doesn't actually come from earthly things. Now, that's pretty radical. And so we need to say to Burroughs, don't those things make our lives more comfortable? Wait a second, I'm wearing comfortable clothes today. I spent money on them. More money, perhaps, than I would have spent on less comfortable clothes. Don't these clothes make my life more comfortable? Yes, of course, they can make our lives comfortable. But here's the thing. If your heart rests on those things for comfort, if your heart says, okay, that's the only way I can be comfortable, that's the only place I can find my joy, and does not look higher than these kinds of things for comfort, certainly have an earthly heart. And so when you're about any business, you have some earthly means to further you. So yeah, at the end of the day, we're Christians. We recognize sitting in first class is probably more comfortable than sitting in coach. But if the only way that I can be comfortable is if I really think that's the only way I can experience joy, then I'll tell you what, I'm earthly, and also I'm not going to be that comfortable because a lot of life is not first class. You see this sometimes when you live in a wealthier place and in a poorer place. Is the wealthier person really that much more comfortable? Sort of. But they often complain a lot more than the person who hasn't experienced much of that comfort. So it's like, did that comfort that they experience give them that much more comfort if they're complaining all the time? It doesn't seem like it. You'll say, okay, wait a second. God doesn't have a problem with us using outward means for our safety right now. I don't want to be foolish. I think this is the common objection that people would have when you talk about trusting God or chilling out a little bit and just letting God be God and not feeling like everything has to be in your control and you fix everything. People often are responding, yeah, but I need to make sure that I work hard and God's given me responsibilities and all of that. Well, one thing I say to that, something to think about, is that most of us don't have the problem of trusting God too much. So, you know, just to be real straight with you, most of us don't have the problem of putting too much of our life and security in God's hands. Most of us have the exact opposite issue going on, where we forget God and really feel like everything is in our hands. So sometimes when we talk about, okay, relax, let's not feel so stressed about trying to fix everything, people will respond by saying, yeah, but I don't want to become the kind of person who just, you know, is lazy and just sort of doesn't do anything. And I feel like, okay, you know, like this sort of feels like talking to a whole group of people who are severely obese, like 600 pounds, and you're talking about going on a diet, and they're like, well, I don't want to become an anorexic. It's like, well, I don't think that's actually your problem right now, you know. Maybe someday that is a real problem, but I don't think that's probably one that you need to be as concerned about right now. Burroughs comes at this objection a little bit differently. He says, okay, God, you say God would have us to take all outward means to help us. Yes, but that doesn't mean we're supposed to trust in those outward means. If riches increase, set not your hearts upon them. If friends increase, set not your hearts upon them, but trust in the living God. Let it be the living God that you rest on for all outward things in this world. Now, that's a little bit hard. You need to think about that. How do I trust in God and use the outward means that are available to me to fix the situation? We just were in Alaska. We were supposed to fly home. When we went to fly home, the flights were canceled. They were canceled all over the world. We had the opportunity to do something. Now, there's a lot of people in the world, I don't know if we always realize this, that they wouldn't have had the opportunity to do something. So like there's a lot of people that don't have the funds at that moment their flight is canceled to buy another ticket. So their option, it's almost easier for them. What do? The only thing they can do is pray and trust God. Now we, on the other hand, we may have funds in our bank account. And so at that moment, the flight's canceled. We can get on our phones and find another flight and pay for it. And so what do? We do that, right? And we do it quickly. But what does it look like? This is the question. What does it look like to trust God in that moment? Does trusting God have any impact on how you respond when a flight is canceled, when you have the means and capability to fix the problem yourself? I think it does. I think it does. And I think we need to think about, well, how do I trust God and use earthly means? Okay, but Burroughs here is saying proof of an earthly-minded person is that you're resting upon earthly means for security and for comfort instead of God. Second proof, we'll just do one more. There's nine, so we're not going to get through this. I can see that. But a second proof is when men make most provision for the things of this world, both for themselves and for their children. Are these not your thoughts? I don't know what I may need later. And I see many who have lived well when they've been young, and afterwards they've lived miserably. And therefore, I must make provision for later. But now, do you reason thus for the things of heaven? Do not I see many that have made a great blaze of religion, and yet afterwards they've come to nothing? They've gone out in a snuff, as men that God has forsaken, and they've died in horror of conscience. Therefore, let me lay up provision now against an evil time, that I may not miscarry in the matters of my soul, as others have done. This is a sign that your minds are not earthly. So when you think about the future, which future are you thinking about? So I've often said we're really concerned about the future as Americans, but we're actually concerned about the short-term future. We're not as concerned as we should be about the actual future. Like, we're more concerned about the next 50 years and less concerned about the next billion years. Well, of course, a billion's more than 50. We should be more concerned about the next billion years. And that's, if you are, that's one of the proofs that you're heavenly-minded. God has sent you children. Okay, so now we're going to talk about your family, because this is really where it gets going, earthly mindedness. Because it's sometimes not as much about us, at least the way we rationalize it. It's about our children. God has sent you children, and know how you toil and labor. Your thoughts run in the night, and as soon as you wake in the morning, you think about how to get things for them and an estate for them. Now, I appeal to your consciences before God, the searcher of all hearts. Have your cares been to provide in a suitable way for their souls, for their spiritual and eternal estates? There's no question but that it's lawful, it's good for parents to provide in a providential way for their children. And if you don't do that, yes, that's a failure as a parent. But if you don't do that and it's because you're lazy, it's your failure as a parent, or it's because you're thoughtless, it's your failure as a parent. There are some circumstances in life that we just can't actually, we're not God, so we don't have that kind of power. But okay, his point is, yeah, okay, so it's good to work to provide for them in the future. But what is your chief provision for? Are your thoughts more eager to provide finances for them than that they should have instructions in the fear of God, an interest in Christ, grace wrought in their hearts? You're loath to die before you can bring your estate to its fullness so that you may leave it to your children. Are you not loath to die before such a time as you can see some work of grace in the heart of your children? These would be your thoughts if you were spiritual. Oh, could I discern just some seeds of grace sown before I was dissolved? I could rejoice abundantly. 'Tis repeated of Augustine's mother. The great thing she desired to live for was to see her son converted. God granted her desire, and then she found herself willing to die. There's nothing which will make the spiritual heart of a father or mother more willing to depart from this world than to find grace wrought in their children. Oh, that I may see before I die my child converted. But those whose cares and thoughts are mostly for these earthly things, in providing for themselves and their children, give proof that their hearts are earthly. Now, let's just get a little convicting. We'll get a little more specific. Sometimes we are not as much thinking about the will, you know, the financial inheritance that we're going to give our children, But we are thinking, okay, it's my responsibility to get my kid into a good college. Because if they get into a good college, then they're going to get a good job, and they're going to be able to live here in Southern California. Maybe just to say it straight. And so we are willing to sacrifice a lot for that. And we are happy if our kids sacrifice a lot for that, right? Like they stay up late, they skip things because they want to do their college application or get something on their college application or get into a good school or whatever. And okay. Great if they get into a good school. You always have to define, though, what is a good school. So just make sure you do that. But what is good? If good is only finances, then you kind of have to wonder, is that how an earthly-minded person thinks about a good school? Is that how a heavenly-minded person thinks about a good school? But anyway, leave that. You want them to get into a good school. That's fine. Work at that. But are you content or happy if you see your kids working harder at their academics to get into a good school and sacrificing more for that than they are for time with Christ, for time in His Word? So say you know that time with God takes time. So say you know that getting so busy, doing so many things is nice, but it's also over a period of time, if that's the way of life, that makes it very difficult for a person to have enough space in their minds to think long and hard about God. If you know that's true, then why would you let your kid live a life like that, right? You'd say, okay, we need to figure out how do we work hard and do our best in the areas that God's given us while not compromising in the most important areas. Like, this is the fundamental conviction. A nice thing is to get into a good school, get a good job. But if to get into a good school, get a good job, I have to become earthly minded, then no. God's going to take care of me some other way. He's able. He's God. So I have to teach my kids to have their priorities straight. If they're lazy, that would mean, yeah, I need to work hard with my children to help them catch a vision for using their energy for the glory of God. But if my child is earthly minded and is like making an idol out of academics or getting into a good school, then I'm also going to have to say to my child, hey, this is not right. And, as long as you live in my house, I'm going to work at helping you not think and live like that. So imagine a child's lazy and they're unconverted. Do you simply say, well, they're lazy, they're unconverted, I guess I'll just let them be lazy? Probably not. I would think most of you would say, okay, the ultimate thing that needs to happen is they need to become Christians. They need to be born again. But in the meantime, I'm going to use this sin of laziness as an opportunity to preach them the gospel, and I'm also going to work with them so they develop habits of working hard. As long as they live in my house, I can't do everything, but I can work on that area. It's not that different when it comes to being earthly minded, right? Like, ultimately, if they're going to be spiritually minded, it's going to take a work of grace. And so if they're over-focused on academics or school or whatever, I'm going to have to say to them, look, the reason why you're making this your God is because you have not seen the glory of God. And school, getting into a good school or doing well in academics is a bad God. You can't set your heart upon that. If you set your heart upon that, it's going to fail you. And you're going to also really miss out on the purpose of why you were created. And so, that's ultimately, you need to see that as sin, repent, and receive forgiveness. But, at the same time, as your dad, I can't allow you to develop a pattern of life which is not helpful or healthy. And overworking, making work or academics, treating it like it is the key to life, is not healthy or helpful. So I'm going to, in our home, as you live here, I need to help you develop a habit of a way of life that really fits with reality, which is that God is God, and we ought to look to God for our comfort, for our joy, and for our future hope. Anyway, Jeremiah Burroughs, A Treatise on Earthly Mindedness, so helpful to identify it in order to change. He's going to give us 9 proofs that we're earthly minded. Here are the first two. One, we are trusting in earthly things for our comfort and security. 2, we make more provision for the things of the world when it comes to ourselves and when it comes to our children and when it comes to our future than we do think about making provision for our eternal future by focusing on spiritual realities and setting our hope and heart in heaven.